Challenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. It's now.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping right in looking at some really potent source material. It's a profile from a cyber defense investigator mapping out this intense wave of hacktivist activity hitting Europe in early September 2025.
Yeah, this material gives us a raw look, almost unfiltered, at the digital front lines. For anyone tracking global tensions, this profile is, well, essential reading. It's not just random attacks we're seeing.
No, it's strategic.
It really is. A high-volume environment where these big ideological clashes are causing real, tangible disruption across Europe.
And that's our mission today, right? To pull apart this profile, connect the dots between the groups, their motivations, and honestly, the pretty worrying shift in who and what they're targeting.
And how they're doing it.
Exactly. So maybe let's start with the big picture. The profile points to three main geopolitical hotspots fueling almost everything. It's like multiple conflicts playing out online all at once.
That's a good way to put it. First off, you've still got the major fallout from the Russia-Ukraine conflict. That tension directly feeds the pro-Russian anti-NATO side of things.
Like no-name 0573.
Precisely. Them often using that hashtag fuck Eastwood tag, they're zeroing in on European countries providing support to Kyiv. It's very targeted.
And they're not subtle about why, are they?
Not at all. The sources show them, clear as day, saying attacks on France were direct retaliation for French government funding of, and they use the term, the Zelensky regime. Cyber attacks as basically public political statements.
Okay, so that's one driver. What's the second major tension zone?
That would be the Israel-Islamic Resistance cyber axis. This generated a huge amount of the activity we saw in this time frame.
Groups like Dinet, Fatimian.
And Hizzi Rash, yeah. A lot of groups aligned against Israel. Their operations were relentless, hitting key Israeli sectors, military transport, and really importantly, healthcare. Attacks on places like the Sheher Zedek Medical Center.
But it spills over, right? It doesn't just stay contained to Israel.
Absolutely not. That's key. It spreads to allies. The sources show direct attacks on Japanese infrastructure, and the reason given was simply because of its support for Israel, plus significant hits on U.S. infrastructure, alongside European targets, too.
This idea of cross-border retaliation keeps coming up. Okay, and the third driver. And you mentioned it often intersects with the others.
That's the Kurdish cause. And one group, Hizzi Rash, is really prominent here. They're what we call polydirectional.
Meaning they'll attack pretty much anyone.
Anyone they see as opposing their goals, yeah. So they consistently hit Turkey and Iran, but also other nations like Japan, the stated aim, pursuing Kurdish freedom and rights.
So three distinct conflicts, three sets of motivations, but you also see cooperation, don't you? Sometimes these groups, even ones that might normally be rivals, team up. Let's talk about the key players in these alliances.
Yeah, the level of organization is frankly quite striking. You've got the Russian-aligned cluster, no-name 057, their Z alliance focused on that anti-NATO angle. Then you have the Islamic Resistance cyber axis, groups like Alexek, Holy League. They're explicitly framing their fight in religious terms, calling it jihad with science and technology. It's quite formalized.
And this leads to actual named alliances crossing ideological lines, like the Dark Age G sector.
Exactly. That one was significant. It wasn't just chatter. It was a public announcement. Mm. They listed members, Dinet, Dark Storm, Anonymous Russia, even Hizzi Rash, all collaborating, they said, for strong activities, joint operations to make a bigger splash.
Wow. But speaking of these groups, we have to touch on the internal drama. It almost sounds like a soap opera sometimes, doesn't it? It really highlights how blurred the line is between ideology and, well, just crime.
That's quite something. Right in the middle of all this, Dinet, a major player, suddenly announces its era is over. Why? Apparently two members just left.
Okay.
And almost immediately, a rival group, Chemist Plus Bo, pops up saying they're the great replacement. And at the same time, they're accusing the departing Dinet guys of being scammers over some failed deal for an affiliate channel.
Hold on. So they're ending their ideological group, but the immediate fallout is a fight over botnet channels and accusations of fraud.
That's exactly it. It tells you that even under these grand banners, Kurdish rights, anti-NATO, there's this volatile, competitive, criminal marketplace underneath. It seems to be business, often disguised as activism.
Right. So with that picture of the ecosystem, Let's look at where they're actually pointing these resources, the targets, especially in Europe, because this is where the profile really shows the risk escalating for civilians.
Definitely. Focusing on Europe, the shift is stark. In France, yes, the Z Alliance and No Name 057 hit predictable targets, government websites, the Toulouse metro system. But the really chilling one was the Irefrance industrial irrigation system.
Irefrance. So agricultural tech. For listeners, taking down a website might not sound world-ending. Why is this breach so serious?
Because it's targeting what we call ICS CADA systems, industrial control systems. These are the computers running the physical world, power grids, water pumps, you name it. This wasn't just a website defacement.
So what could the attackers actually do?
They got full control. Pump operation, water dosage settings, even the sprinkler rotation. The sources confirmed their own boast. They could literally dry out or flood the territory.
Wow.
When you can mess with the physical flow of resources like water, you're way beyond digital mischief. You're into national stability threats.
That ability, potentially for just $15 if you buy the right service, that completely changes the game for national security, doesn't it? It's not just data theft anymore. It's potential mass physical damage.
It really does. And while that was France, other critical sectors were getting hammered elsewhere. Norway saw similar groups hitting the Norsk Industri Federation. That's a portal for major industries and energy partners, like INSOC, involved in oil and gas, plus Bananor, managing road traffic reports.
Disrupting transport, energy creates immediate public chaos.
And economic pain, yes. Same pattern in Poland. Critical infrastructure provider Nysa SA, Lublin Airport, the railway carrier Orlen Kolej. Hitting a major rail carrier isn't random. It impacts goods, services, commuters. Maximum visibility, maximum psychological effect.
But maybe the most, I don't know, shocking targets in Europe were the healthcare facilities, specifically in Germany.
Correct. Hezi Rash went after the healthcare sector there. They specifically named the Jewish Hospital Berlin and the Marian Hospital Kassel, also the European Medical Association.
Targeting hospitals.
It just shows a complete lack of restraint, doesn't it? Prioritizing psychological impact over any kind of, you know, ethical line.
Okay, so let's unpack the how. How are these groups, driven by this mix of politics and crime, actually managing to hit such sensitive infrastructure across different countries so effectively? What are the tactics?
The big takeaway, really, is that the barrier to entry for causing serious disruption has just plummeted. It's because the attack methods are basically commercial products now. DDoS, distributed denial of service, is still the main weapon.
Right.
But they're not building these tools themselves. Mostly, they're using specialized DDoS for hire services.
We saw names like Elite Stress, Dark Cloud Stressor, Keys Holding Service pop up again and again in the sources.
And these aren't amateur tools. They openly advertise Syrian capabilities, like bypassing enterprise-grade protection. Think Cloudflare, the system protecting huge numbers of major websites. They offer both Layer 4 and Layer 7 attacks.
Can you break that down simply for us, Layer 4 versus Layer 7?
Sure. Think of it like traffic. Layer 4 is like sending a million cars to clog up the main highway entrance, just overwhelming volume. Layer 7 is sneakier. It makes specific, resource-intensive requests inside the website, like constantly running complex searches. It drains the target's resources more efficiently.
And Dark Cloud Stressor was advertising this kind of thing for, what was it, $15 a month?
$15. That's the price tag for a tool potent enough to degrade or knock offline critical national infrastructure in Europe. That single fact should reshape how we think about cyber defense.
And it's not just DDoS, is it? The surveillance hacking seems widespread, too.
Oh, yeah. Hezi Rash frequently boasted about hacking CCTV cameras, especially in Turkey and Japan. And other groups, like UserSec, are openly selling training courses on how to do it, how to exploit video streaming protocols like RTSP, FTP, SMTP servers, VNC for remote access.
So the knowledge is being sold like a product, too.
Exactly. The skills needed to integrate physical surveillance into their attacks. Not secret agent stuff. It's commercially available know-how.
This mix of ideology and open commerce, it makes the motivation seem incredibly tangled. Let's talk about the why. What can we infer about the psychology behind these operations?
Well, explicitly, the messaging is all about retaliation. Deterrence. You see Chemis Plus hitting Morocco in reply to cyber attacks against Algeria. Hezi Rash hitting Japan because of its stance on Israel. They position themselves as digital enforcers of their own worldview.
But when the tools cost $15 and they're used against hospitals, can we even call it hacktivism anymore? Isn't it just organized crime with a political excuse to make money?
That's the million-dollar question this profile raises, isn't it? The public face is propaganda through impact. choosing targets like city transport, hospitals, major media outlets, it's all for maximum headlines, maximum psychological effect, often with really boastful taunts, like asking if the Jerusalem Post server was running on calculator. Public fear is cheap and easy with DDoS.
But they need to fund that fear, which brings us back to that core contradiction, the claimed ideology versus the very obvious profit motive.
The sources make it plain. The commercial market fuels the ideological campaigns. Groups claim to fight for Kurdish freedom or Islamic resistance, yet they simultaneously run and sell access to DDoS botnets. DNS bot, for instance, cost up to $120 a month.
Selling the weapons they use for their cause.
Precisely. Selling the very infrastructure used for the attacks. It just completely blurs the line between political action and straightforward profit-driven cybercrime. The ecosystem pays for itself.
Okay, so to wrap this up, if you had to summarize the key takeaway from this September 2025 profile, what would it be?
I'd say the European digital battlefield during this period was defined by fragmented, intensely ideological hacktivism, but it's become alarmingly effective because the tools are just so easy to get. They're commercial, off the shelf almost.
And crucially, the targets have shifted fundamentally. It's not just government sites anymore. It's complex, sensitive civilian infrastructure, energy, transport, healthcare, even agriculture, as we saw in France and Germany. Low-cost digital attacks creating immediate real-world physical risk.
The conclusion has to be that the barrier to entry for causing national-level disruption has effectively collapsed. The main threat isn't only the super sophisticated state-sponsored actor anymore.
So the final thought for you listening, what does this actually mean for national security strategy? If powerful DDoS tools cost less than a monthly streaming subscription and the know-how to hit critical ICSK to systems is being openly sold, how must security strategies adapt? Especially now that major threats come from these commercialized, motivated hacktivist alliances, not just nation states. That's the really profound question this activity from September 2025 leaves us with.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.